Hi, this is Russ Volkman with the Integral Leadership Collaborative Conference, and today I'm interviewing Don Beck. Don Beck's fame precedes him, but I just want to say of all the people I know that are doing work with adult development in Integral, Don is not only personally but also leading others in making significant differences in the world in some of the most difficult places to work. Don, thanks very much for talking with me.
Thank you, Russ, and thank you so much for your Integral Leadership Journal. It's made a major contribution to our field. Both your theory statements and your from the main street, I guess, applications have really enriched our world. So thank you once again.
Well, thank you. What are some of the kinds of things that you're currently interested in and exciting about, whether it's regarding research, teaching, or actual application?
Well, as you know, I'm a heat-seeking missile, so the current crisis in Norway is on our agenda. Elza Maalouf and I were in Oslo recently meeting with the U.S. Ambassador and the Oslo Peace Committee, and we warned about what was happening in Norway that would be very upsetting to the rest of the world in terms of the clash of value systems and the counter-response and blowback from the fear of Islamic penetration into the Europe cultures, and that could be a flashpoint in the future. Well, it happened more quickly than we realized, but as you know, we've been engaged with this issue for a long time, particularly in Netherlands, where we ran a series of summits on the future of the Netherlands with a focus on fundamentalism. We had three summits working with Peter Mary. The third one drew 900 Dutch leaders, and that we were anticipating this problem following the assassination of the Dutch film critic. I cite this as an example of the vibrancy of the work of Claire W. Graves, which guides us into going into virtually any situation using the model that he developed to be able to look deeply into the causative forces that are working. And rather than simply try to piece together issues on the surface, which tend to fall apart, then we're able to put a four-court press on a situation, and then we'll be in Paris at the Senate and National Assembly to speak on this issue in October. So there's great interest in Europe once again, as we've been signaling for some time. So this is a case study once again for us as we try to assist local indigenous groupings' leadership to understand the problem and then encourage them to find new alternatives. Otherwise, we over-respond and we have a blowback. That's what happens. And so the Tea Party in this country is a product of President Obama's early efforts in health care, and he got this kind of blowback. And so the question becomes, and this gets to the work of Mustafa Sheriff, called Assimilation Contrast Effect, that was the basis of my PhD study of the American Civil War, on how issues polarize and why the center disappears and why extreme left would see George W. Bush as a fascist and extreme right would see President Clinton as a communist. So we've been able to detect the nature of that push-pull and therefore warn Norway and other countries to see the early signs and the fact that this terrorist in Norway was not on the police radar scope is a serious indictment of their inability to recognize weak signals. So we strongly recommend vital signs monitors in order to detect these underlying dynamics of change before they erupt on the surface. So unhappily, what happened in Norway over the weekend is yet another case study where the understanding of what we're doing could, in a preventative way, play a major role in diffusing. But then after the damage is done, to avoid kind of knee-jerk responses and the needless stereotypings that occurs regarding Islamic thought systems or Christian thought systems, it's also the enemy. So assimilation contrast effect is a very powerful, well-researched technology to working in the field in order to attempt to weaken the forces that lead to extreme violence. Because in our interdependent world, where all kinds of people can access the weaponry of the more complex systems, it means that we are at serious risk today, and we simply have to do better. So that, I guess, is the hot issue for me right now.
Yeah, and it seems to me that, violence can show up in many different forms at many different levels. And so I would assume that the applications that you're talking about within crisis situations, and very often national or even international situations, could apply at lower levels of systems, at the network level, at the organization level. Is that right?
Well, yes, most certainly in this country at the political level, and every now and then there's major violence around sporting events where the us versus them stereotypes occur and our inability to see differentiations. So it's a constant problem, as you say, at all particular levels, not just the geopolitical, but also in town council meeting and education sessions with the board, and other kinds of conflicts, often over racial, ethnic lines, but also over affluent and poverty lines. And until we can escape that bipolarity that freezes our solutions, see, that's the problem with it. And so the Center for Human Emergence that we've created is really committed to understanding the functional flows and how to facilitate what are impasses before they fester into violence and very, very rigid us versus them that are projected well into the future. So, yes, it's the model of course, Claire Graves, and then the work we've done with Mucifer Sheriff on the simulation contrast effect combined to produce a very powerful model for moving into almost any particular context.
Great. So there's lots of different levels of applicability, and they're really critical concepts. How do you see them connecting to the idea of integral leadership or simply integrally informed leadership?
Well, I'm not really for sure what integral informed leadership means. In our particular context, it's how should who lead whom to do what with which people living where. So because I work in a spiral concept with multiple layers and levels of complexity, and the most dangerous thing is to impose a single definition of leadership onto a context that reflects our own preferences, our own culture, which you see is what's happened in Norway for some time, this inability to detect under the surface certain threatening dynamics because the mindset, the worldview in Norway with this peace prize and so forth, just can't see them. So the kind of leadership that has got to be added to Norway, just like we added it to the Netherlands, because when I first got there, I did a major presentation for the 900, the 90 leaders in the Dutch police. And they had just been told they may have to start wearing guns again. And there was great resistance to that because they pride themselves on community policing, only to find out that the kinds of threats they have today in Netherlands and all over Europe are going to require a different concept of law enforcement. I regret that's the case, but because we're so interconnected with weapons available to very dangerous people, then we may have to rethink that whole thing. So to me, integral, as Ken Wilber says, the work of Claire Graves was the first major presentation on that. And when I first got into work with Graves, I studied the 42 different systemic models, and I picked it over all the others because of the expansive nature of it and the user-friendly capability to apply it in very complex environments and the large piece on change. Because I find so many integrals are so naive about change. They think they can change the symbolic systems and so forth, and that will win the day. Mm-hmm. If it's a deep crisis going on, then you have to do things down spiral, which are antithetical to the prevailing political correct value systems in our culture as well as Norway.
One of the things that you've alluded to is that when people think about the SDI kind of approach, they get very unclear, I think, about what is the social change or political orientation to change. It's difficult for some people. Maybe it's folks who are centered in green or one of the other frameworks, worldviews, to see the spiral dynamics integral approach for what it is. It seems to me for what it is dealing with what is rather than dealing with what it is we want to be, primarily. And as a consequence, they think of it as conservative, or they think of it as radical, or something like that. How do you explain the approach you take in terms of some of the kind of historical left-right divisions that exist in most societies?
Sure, Russ, thanks for asking that. I've been a Texas liberal Democrat all of my life. The problem is a lot of people who talk about spiral dynamics don't have a clue what it is. They haven't come to our major training programs. They haven't looked at the huge body of literature on change and the study of probably 250,000 people worldwide in multiple languages using our assessment systems. The whole concept, though, is not a rigid, let's go back to the basics at all. It is a functional system. And if we need to go back to the basics, it has the freedom to do that. Just like what's happening in Iceland, as you know, with Bjarni, who's doing wonderful work in his national assemblies that have, in a sense, gone back to the past to recover what's necessary for them to jump to the future. Now, you know I'm in this evolutionary leaders group that Deepak Chopra put together, and our entire focus is on evolution, on how we can unblock the movement of energy in such a way to shape it into a future possibilities. So rather than being a past-oriented or a conservative system, my goodness, it is just the opposite. It's a hopeful system, most certainly, but like the Russian dolls, the doll within the doll within the doll, it realizes the critical importance of bringing the whole spiral with us. This means to respect the tribal origins as well as the traditional belief structures as well as the modern entity, because if we're going to deal with the pre-modern, modern, post-modern integral transition, now what is unique about spiral dynamics is it touches that flow at all of the particular levels. While many in the postmodern world, many in the liberal community, have jettisoned the technology for moving out of pre-modern and then through a modern entity and reject the whole packages. That's why they're a danger. That's why they make things worse. So if someone is serious about studying spiral dynamics, first find the book and read chapter 4. And this is all explained in detail. And we actually have 8 different kinds of change that we can talk about. So we can move into a context rather than naively saying you have to change. We say, but change from what to what?
Yeah.
And how, based on the technologies of change up and down the spiral. So that's a large part of the technology.
Yeah, and that's such a critical term, up and down the spiral, because so many change efforts tend to ignore that phenomena. You know, we're calling this international conference an integral leadership collaborative, although we're still kind of formulating the theme of the conference, because we think popularizing or spreading the word about integral leadership in its various forms is really a collaborative effort. And as you think about what you know, about what we're trying to put together here, looking optimistically into the future, is there an outcome that you would hope that an online conference such as this can help our community achieve?
Well, yes, I think so. Number one, I think it's important to keep an open mind about this and be willing to look at the scientific evidence. As you know, we've just finished a major mind-brain research activity in Cologne using PET scans and fMRIs, locating these value systems in our neurology. Just as Claire Graves in his biopsychosocial model says that we would find them. So here is some of the ultimate validation of spiral dynamics, more so than any other evolutionary model can produce. I'm a student of the spiral, obviously, so I embrace all the different step stages and models, and I tend not to be critical of any of them because I see all of them as worthy. Yet when I get down and dirty, as I say, in real-world issues, then I found Gray's work to be the most powerful, and I've yet to find any other approach that can match it. So embracing all the integral models, being able to have the portfolio that engages all of them with the wisdom that each produces, I think, is the challenge. It's just that we were kind of the first out of the beginning because of the work we started back in 1960s. In order to really begin to grasp what we are now calling in quest of the master code. Because what Gray's generated was not simply the next theory of anything, but why what is next is next. He was looking for the master code that explains why all theories emerge. Why are there different evolutionary models with Keegan at Harvard and others? His model predicts that and explains that. Because it gets down to the core issue of how human nature responds to life conditions. So rather than a predetermined Calvinistic script or crop circles in the human psyche, it looks at the dynamic of the human organism and its interaction with life condition. And so the models come out of that interaction. That's why there are different models in different cultures. So rather than debate and argue among them, pick the ones that are most relevant to the particular context in which you find yourself. Having said that, you know, we have for many, many years doing dissertations and master's theses and research in five different languages. We've amassed a tremendous body of knowledge about the nature of change, how to read weak signals, how to construct unique solutions and the architecture that matches the movement of people through different stages as they, like in the Russian dolls, emerge through differences, bringing with them the richness of their past. And that's the key. But if we become judgmental and cut off the spiral from their past, then we're missing a huge opportunity. Barrett Brown did an outstanding piece of work with us in applying this to the HIV problem, where we were able to identify the different solutions, quote-unquote, to the HIV problem in the different mimetic colors. And the article that we've generated has pictures and posters and examples of that. So it's an example of how one can attempt to activate all the value structures. And right. We call this a meshwork activity.
Well, you know, it seems to me that when you talk about embracing all the change strategies and approaches and so forth, it doesn't get any more integral than that. So, Don, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to your presentation at the conference, as I'm sure everyone is. Thank you so much for taking the time with me.
Thank you, Russ, for what you're doing.